Today's Memorial, or tomorrow will be Memorial Day. And this morning I want to talk to you for a minute about a memorial. And a memorial doesn't have much value to it unless it means something to you. Think about that. Some here this morning know that that tomorrow is the day that we have no more school for a while for most. Or some of us get the day off from work. But do you really know why or what Memorial Day is all about? To you, it may be the beginning of summer and lots of barbecues and family get-togethers. And I think it's even the special day that the Indianapolis 500 runs tomorrow. Some people will be watching that. Several hundred thousand usually in the stands. It's an amazing event. In the U.S., Memorial Day is a call for us to remember, to pause, to remembering the men and women who sacrificed for each one of us. Some making the ultimate sacrifice of their lives. The ability to remember is a blessing from God. And in a flash, you can be fishing with your grandfather, or swimming at your favorite lake, or hitting the game-winning home run at your softball tournament, and time can rob you of memories unless they become unimportant and you choose to forget them. We don't want to forget those things. I have many great memories in my mind of special times that I never want to forget. Amen? In Deuteronomy 32:7, it says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father and he will tell you, your elders, and they will explain to you." In Exodus 13:3, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, commemorate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand." I love that. You know, Joshua, he didn't want the people of Israel to forget what the Lord had done for them. And when the whole nation, like 6 million people there, men and women and children, had finished crossing the Jordan, Joshua's hand picked 12 men to take stones from the Jordan where they had crossed and make a memorial. And it was a time of testing, yet God provided for them and for every need that they had. Deuteronomy 29:3-7 says, "Your eyes have seen all that the Lord did in Egypt to Pharaoh, to all his officials and to all his land. With your own eyes you saw those great trials, those miraculous signs and great wonders. But to this day the Lord has not given you a mind that understands, or eyes that see, or ears that hear. During the 40 years that I led you through the desert, your clothes did not wear out, nor did the sandals of your feet. You ate no bread or drank no wine or other fermented drink. I did this so that you might know that I am the Lord your God." You know, we have a tendency to forget what God has done for us. We can center in on the negatives and let them cloud our minds and forget about those great things that God done. Sometimes that we get caught up in all the things of this world that we forget about the great things that God has done for us. In the church, we have what is called the Wesleyan Quadrilaterals, and it's a combination of four elements. It's scripture, reason, tradition, and experience. You put these things together and we form the opinion and the knowledge of God. We use that to help us form the opinion of what God's intentions were in the Scripture. It is, you know, it's no wonder that for most people they lack this opinion and knowledge of God because they lack these four elements. They miss the pursuit of God, the desire to seek God. They lack experience because they not ever really had a meaningful experience with God. They barely read the Word of God and and reason only what they're told, and they're being pulled in many directions. That's why it's so important, and I encourage you all the time. I encourage everyone to read your Bible, to study the Word, to pray, to seek reason behind what the Scriptures really say, and not rely on just what I said behind the pulpit or what somebody else said on TV. Read it for yourself. Study the Word for yourself. It's not in my sermon, but I just had this book. It was on my mind this morning, and I brought it in, and I told Verna, I said, I wish everyone would take this book right here, buy it on Amazon, brand new, $16. I don't make a dime off of this. You can get them used for $10, or you can get them on Audible and listen to them if you don't like to read so much. But this outlines all 66 books of the Bible. This was one of my books I used in one of my classes. But it does all the exegetical work. I know that's a big word, but it does all the study for you. And it outlines what each book says. It's really a good book to study with. I encourage you to read your Scripture and to have that wonderful experience with the Holy Spirit. And we had some young ladies up here this morning just pouring their hearts out. What a wonderful experience that God wants to have with you, this relationship. He wants you to experience Him in your life. I don't know how much more I can express that. God desires a relationship with you. And it's not He wants a relationship for us to have a relationship as a body of Christ, but He desires a personal relationship with you, one-on-one. When you put these things together, we form our opinion and our knowledge of God. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Galatians 5:7, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Question is, if you were going to die in 3 days and you knew this, would it change what you do for the next 3 days? Would it change? What would you do? I guarantee you it wouldn't be working overtime. You would want to be with the ones you love the most. You would want to spend that time with them. You know, people that have fires in their homes, what do they grab after the family is safe? They grab pictures and precious gifts and from their loved ones and the stuff that money can't replace. I hear that so much. Somebody loses everything they have, and the things that they talk about, they're not talking about the big flat screen TV on the wall. They're talking about, man, my pictures, my photo albums, my Bible that my grandfather gave me. Those are the things that are precious and we remember. What would God say to America today? What are we building our memorials to? We tore down the commandments of God in our public courts. We've disallowed prayer in our schools. We have taken His commands and twisted them for our sinful lifestyles. The decaying morality that goes on now. We have resurrected idols everywhere, and we know more about Hunter Biden's laptop than we do about the Word of God. We care more about our life and we forget about the neighbor who needs Jesus and is struggling. What would God say to America today? Would He tell us that socialism is taking over? Would He tell us that a new president is the real answer? Would He tell us that inflation is killing us? Would He tell us that gas prices is killing us? Or would He say, as important as all these things are, America needs Jesus Christ. This nation, who is founded on Christian principles, has moved so far away from the Christian principles that we don't know who we are any longer. America needs Christ. What would God say to America today? The Bible said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Psalms 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." Amen?
Amen.
He would say, remember all the Christians who died before us, like Stephen, who was stoned for his faith. Remember the apostles, the ones who were martyred and died for the faith. Remember, above all these things, remember Jesus Christ, the one who died and who was nailed to a cross for each and every one of us. Build a memorial to that. Joshua 4:6 says, "When your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the Lord, and when it crossed the Jordan, the water of the Jordan was cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." When you drive by this church, when you walk into this sanctuary, what do you remember? What do you tell your children when they ask you, "Why do we go to this church?" I'm telling you, you tell them, remember the ones, the Sylvia McCords, the families that gave their life, they gave their resources, they gave everything they had so this church could be here. You tell them that. And you tell them they did it for Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I tell when people ask me about the Nazarene Church in Anna. People gave their life so that we could have this special place that we could come and attend. We did a bunch of cleaning out here the other day. We got started just pulling a few weeds, and next thing you know, we had chainsaws flying, and it needed to be done, but we got courageous and cleaned it up out there. What was wonderful, I seen there was probably, 10 or 12 of us, 13 of us out there working. We was having a good time and laughing, and cars would go by and they'd honk their horns. And there's a Mr. Berkheimer, he rides his bike here in our church parking lot all the time, and he told me, he said, "Man, that looks so good out there." But people ask those questions. I like that because we love our church. We want to do good things for our church. I'll get off that. I just want you to remember, every time we walk into this church house, the sacrifices that were made so that we would be able to not only have this building, but for the sacrifices that were made by many who gave us the freedom to be able to stand here, me stand here and preach the gospel, you to sit here without worry that some army would come in or some officer would come in and arrest you for just being here. We have the freedom. I want to challenge you to think of your memorial stones in your life. Let them draw you closer to God. People want God's blessing without God many times. They live in a blessed nation and a blessed family and a blessed church and live far from the one who does the blessing. So many people, they want the benefits of being God's people without the commitment of being God's people. It costs many people their lives. Our salvation was not free either. It cost Jesus Christ everything, didn't it? Everything. God had to resurrect Him from the dead The only way he could receive it was by commitment to Jesus Christ. Amen? We cannot be agents of change unless we are different than the people we're around. Amen? We have to be different. That's the called unto holiness that we stand on as a Nazarene church. Because we are different. We're committed to being different. And sometimes that seems to be over the top. Some people think, man, that's like more than I think it's necessary. But is it? Are we not willing to do whatever it takes to be different than this world that we live in? Christ gave His life for you. There's three reasons we should build a memorial. We should build them to increase our faith. What great things has God done in your life? What has He blessed you with beyond measure when you didn't deserve it? Most of us were undeserving of any of it. Something that God did for you, and you know about it. You got delivered from drugs, and I'm telling you, if you did, build a memorial. Has He healed you? Build a memorial. Did He deliver you from alcohol? Build a memorial. Is there a time in your life where you knew that God did a miracle in your life? And I'm just telling you, build a memorial for that. Don't forget it. It's a time to remind us that we have been delivered. It's a time of renewing our personal commitment to the Lord when we think about those things. I stand here this morning, I testify to this. God healed me of my kidney issue. I stand on that. I could doubt it. Other people may doubt it, but I'm telling you right now, God healed me. And I believe that. I stand on that. God kept me from a being killed in a car accident. I believe God did that. I have no doubt. I remember those things. So undeserving. You know, Charles Swindoll, in a book called Three Steps Forward and Two Steps Back. I don't know if any of you have read that book. It's the story of a farmer who wanted to impress his hunting buddies. And so to impress them, he bought the smartest, most expensive hunting dog he could find. He trained this dog to do things no other dog on earth could do. Impossible feats that would surely amaze anyone. Then he invited the neighbors to go duck hunting with him. And after a long, patient wait in the boat, a group of ducks flew over, and the hunters were able to make a few shots. And several ducks fell into the water, and the old man hollered at the dog, "Go get them!" The proud owner of his magnificent dog, he leaped out of the boat and walked on top of the water and picked the birds up in return, walking back on top of the water. And as soon as he dropped the ducks in the boat, he trotted off across the water again and grabbed another duck and brought it back to the boat. And the owner just beamed with pride as his wonderful dog that walked across the water retrieved each bird one at a time. Unable to resist the opportunity to brag a little bit, he asked the fellow hunters, "Do you notice anything unusual about my dog?" And one of them rubbed his chin thoughtfully and he said, "Well, come to think of it, that silly dog can't swim." You know, but I think, you know, many give Peter the same reaction instead of recognizing that he was the only disciple to have faith even to step out of the boat. He's criticized for his lack of faith. You ever realize that? There was 11 others in the boat that wouldn't even get out of the boat. It's like, ain't no way I'm getting out of here. Peter, I don't know if it was just something he was just not right. Or he just really, you know, he had the faith that God will see me through it. Amen? What a memory. Faith. is what I'm talking about. Second is to increase our faith of others. Man, I got blessed this week. Really, yesterday, I had a conversation with somebody that may or may not be here, and they probably don't even know this, but I want to tell them, without embarrassment, they increased my faith yesterday. I really had a great conversation. There was another lady that came to get groceries. She's been dealing with cancer. She's in her late 70s. She was driving. She said, I've been going through such a rough time, but God is so good. She said, I don't worry about anything. She said, I just go do my chemo treatment. She said, I've had 28 chemo treatments. And she said, I got to go back to St. Louis for the next 3 months for another round. And she said, but God is so good. She just kept telling me that. She said, I tell my family, my friends, God is so good. Don't worry, I'm not worried. Why are you worried? She said, if I'm not here, I'll be in heaven. So what do we got to worry about? Amazing. I want that faith. Amen. I want that faith. That all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord that is mighty. That you may fear the Lord your God forever. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. A broken and contrite heart is irresistible to God. Increase somebody else's faith. The last is to give the devil a black eye. We can do it. We can be Mike Tyson. We can do Tyson Fury, I guess, as they call it. I'm telling you, the devil points out the negatives in our life and will not want you to remember the goodness of God. And the cross is the biggest memorial that the devil will want you to forget. We cut some trees out here in front of the church. A while ago, I pointed back there. It's not out there. It's back here. And there was these two big old trees that had grown up and had gotten overgrown, and it was hiding the cross on the front of the church. And I remember somebody told me this morning that somebody said that I didn't know there was a cross there. And they noticed it this morning. That's why we put a cross on things, right? So that we remember and we don't forget. The cross is the biggest memorial that we have, and our cities are full of pain-filled, broken people trying to make life work for them, and many of whom have no idea there's a Savior who died for them and longs for their fellowship. That's what we should deliver to them. We must learn to the lesson the disciples learned from walking with Jesus. His ministry is about touching people and healing the sick and feeding the poor and saving the lost. That's the ministry of the church. We must be about the business of the Father. Amen. You remember Jesus when he was a little boy and he smarted off to his mom? He said, I need to be about my Father's business. That's what we need to do. That's what he's called us to do. That's what he's left us here to do. We cannot minister without human contact. We can't do it from a church pew. We can't do it from the couch pew. This is a full contact sport. Come on now, if you like sports. We put on the full armor of God. We put on the shoulder pads, we put on it, the breastplate, and we go to battle. And we fight. How do we fight? We fight on our knees. Amen. Amen. We fight with our words. We fight with our actions. The only hope for this world today is the manifest presence of Jesus Christ in their lives. Amen. The only hope for America today is that Christ is put back into America. How is America going to see Christ? That's through the church. And that's through us. If we're not being the church and we're not showing this world Christ, then Christ is not being shown. It has to come from the church. We can restore the love and the power to His church and our families that have become, that will become a memorial to this country again. We again need the power to come with His mercy, compassion, healing, and deliverance. We'll give the devil a black eye and restore what the devil has stolen from those around us. I remember a story I read about General William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army. He made a profoundly accurate prediction many, many, many years ago when he said, "I consider that the chief dangers which will all confront the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, and forgiveness without regeneration, morality without God, and heaven without hell." God is challenging the Western culture to leave the lukewarm and return to the relationship with Him and be the light of this world that we're supposed to be. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that this church be ignited. Let it be set on fire with a light that shines so bright into this community, into this world, no matter where we go, Lord. We show Your love and Your compassion and Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, we pray all these things. Let us never forget the good work that You have started. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.